Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Rachel Roberts.
We're digital producers at Bravo, and this is The Daily Dish.
I just want to say a formal apology. We are a day late getting this podcast up. But it's because we had the bonus episode, and it was such a big week.
Every week is big.
But we have so much. We have an interview with Siggy Flicker.
Yeah, I went to her house.
I mean, what did her house look like?
Oh, it was amazing.
Oh, my God. We have an interview with Landon Clements of Southern Charm.
Yes.
And the highlight of my career, our interview with Emily Moses. It is so much fun, you guys. She is the realest, as she says, keeps it 100.
She was great. And, I mean, just so sweet, but also just exactly what you would hope to get.
Yes.
She gives it.
Yes. It's the best.
But first, I want to get into something special that's happening at BravoTV.com right now. We are having X-Files Week. Okay, not that kind of X-Files. This is all leading up to the premiere of A Night with My Ex, which is a show that brings couples who are no longer together back together for one night only.
So, one night only.
Yes.
Can we use that?
So in honor of that, we're having a whole week dedicated to relationships, breakups, dating, everything. And we got Siggy Flicker from Real Housewives of New Jersey to be our guest editor. I actually got to go and interview her at her home in Jersey, which was amazing. And we will get into that. But first, we wanted to talk about some of Bravo's biggest breakups.
Bum, bum, bum.
Because we've had a lot.
There's been quite a few.
So I wanted to say that my favorite all-time breakup moments. First, from Vanderpump Rules, when Jax and Stassi are in Jax's truck. Mm-hmm. And they've already kind of broken up, but he's hoping she'll take him back. And she's giving him the conversation of, like, this will never – we're never, ever getting back together, basically.
T-Swift.
And what she doesn't know is he has already tattooed her name on his bicep. And just the way he screams, "You don't know what I've done."
I can't go through this again. Are you serious?
You're not going to make me feel bad for you right now. I'm not even talking to him. This isn't even something.
You have no idea what I've done.
And, like, doesn't tell her in this conversation what he's done. I just remember being like, oh my God, like, what is happening? That's one of my all-time favorites.
For sure. You noted this one, but it's also my favorite, is, of course, in the limo, in OC, Tamara to Simon.
You know what? You can go yourself, you ass.
I'm sorry.
You. You're an ass. You're a total ass. I want a divorce. You.
I just remember that, and then at the reunion, they show her, and she's, like, jumping off a table in her, like, new apartment.
I'm a free bitch.
Yes.
See, I can dance on the table if it went. Woo!
Little breaks.
Na, 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 na. I'm a free bitch. Woo!
Just as, like, such a epic moment. But, oh, see, again, when Brooks and Vicky break up, like, at the reunion.
Right.
They decide to no longer be together, like, in front of everyone. Andy's, like, mediating the whole thing. Just, OC for me is my favorite breakups.
Well, yeah, because you had Dawn and Vicky. You know, we saw them come together to mm-hmm. renew their vows and then ended up getting divorced.
But you never know.
It's not all sad.
Yeah, no, it's not all sad. There's been so many weddings.
And we've even seen reconciliations, like Nene and Greg.
Right.
We saw them break up, but then get remarried.
Right.
So.
Who could say no to Greg with two
yeah.
G's?
Yeah.
Not me.
We also make some things happen.
Yeah. No, I mean, Tom and Katie are together now.
Right. Tamara and Eddie.
Right. Speaking of Tom and Katie, they recently spoke about, I don't know if you all know, but some people have been saying divorce is on the way for them. That's
yeah, the,
been like a rumor out
Betches
there.
Betches said that too right. when we talked to them last week.
Right. So they officially came out to E! News to discuss this in a statement.
We are madly.
Be Katie.
Okay. I'm Katie. And you'll be Tom.
And I'll be
Does
Tom.
Does he do something? Okay.
Okay.
I feel. Oh, wait. Sorry. We are madly in love. I feel like marriage really suits us. We've been through so much, especially since last summer.
It's also been 89% blissful for the couple.
Yeah, it says that she added that in at the end.
I find that to be really specific. Like, why not just say 90? Why 89? Like, what took it down that one extra percentage? But then Tom also added, we like to think that we exercised all the bad stuff. We got about 15 years worth of fighting out in about 3 years, so we're good now, Tom added. It's been smooth sailing.
Great impression.
Thanks. I actually realized, like, I have no idea what Tom would sound like right now. So, yeah, haters, they're 89% blissful. So, take that. Yeah. I'm sure it will only grow. Hopefully 93 by next year.
Right. Now I just want to rate all the existing couples.
Like, in percentage-wise?
Yeah.
Like how happy they are? Yeah. How blissful they are?
Yeah. Like Eddie and Tamara.
I think they're like 110% blissful.
Shannon and David.
I don't, no comment.
Well, speaking of that.
Yes.
So I went to Siggy's home to interview her, and we were talking about, you know, what does she think reality TV, like how big of a part does it play in relationships, if at all, and the divorces we've seen as a result on the shows. But I asked her specifically about David and Shannon because, as we saw in the premiere of Real Housewives of Orange County, you know,
it's not smooth sailing.
It may not be 100% blissful. So I wanted to get Siggy's thoughts. She wasn't as familiar with them, but she did have some interesting things to say. Hi guys, I'm here with Siggy Flicker in her home in New Jersey.
Yay! Hi everybody!
I am so excited to be here, and you are guest editor this week of BravoTV.com.
I know. What a great choice in an editor. I love it! I love it!
This is all leading up to A Night with My Ex, and who better to talk about relationships than you. So we're so glad you could join us.
Thank you so, so much.
So I wanted to get your take because on Bravo, I think one of the most compelling things we've seen across our Housewives franchises are sort of the breakups.
Yeah.
What is your take on, is it the reality show that breaks up a couple?
No, it's not the reality show. When you don't start out with a good foundation, a strong foundation, and then you sign up to do a reality show, it's not the reality show's fault. It will just bring out the worst and the best in a relationship. Doing a reality show puts a lot of stress on the family, on a relationship, on the children. It does. It's not easy. It's worth it in the end, especially when you have, you know, everybody has their ulterior motives of why they do what they do. For me, my book sold out. That book is the best book in the world. It went to every mother and every daughter, every single woman in the world. Every single person should have a copy of that book. But going back to relationships, if you start out not having a strong relationship and you sign on to do a show like this, well, the cracks are only going to get wider. And some people fall apart. Some people, if they have a strong relationship, they'll stay together.
Do you ever watch other Bravo shows?
Yes, I think Bravo is the best network. I love the Jeff Lewis show.
Yes.
I watch that. I watch Beverly Hills Housewives. It's one of my favorite. I love that. What other shows? My husband is always watching The Real Estate.
Right, Million Dollar Listing.
Million Dollar Listing. Let me see what other shows I watch on Bravo. Southern Charm. Those are the shows that I watch on Bravo.
What are the relationships you've watched on those shows that you're like, oh God?
I'm obsessed now. Well, I'm not really good with names, but on Southern Charm,
Catherine and Thomas.
Yes. I'm like, she's so young and beautiful. And she kind of, you know, she's all over the place. She speaks her mind. That relationship, I think that the public, because I am, they're a little bit like, you know, infatuated with that relationship a little bit. Like, what's going to happen?
Right.
Are they going to, you know, they're so all over the place that you don't know what to expect next. So that relationship. I love, like I said, Beverly Hills is my favorite franchise. And besides Jersey, of course. And that's without saying. but just to watch how Lisa is with her husband, both Lisas. They have very beautiful relationships with their husbands. I enjoy the relationship with Erica Jane and her husband. I think that they're very loving and they're just solid relationships, and I enjoy watching that. It brings a smile to my face.
Since you brought up Jeff Lewis, what do you think of him and Gage? We see them go through like testy times.
Because Jeff Lewis is so remarkable. He's like my favorite reality person. I think that he is the most well-rounded person, and he knows how to bring it, and he knows how to be. I like people who are extremely authentic. I can't stand phony, and I can't stand fake, and I can't stand people who just want to be on TV for the sake of being on TV. And that when I'm watching him, that's who he is, and that's true. And all relationships are not perfect, and they are testy, and they go through ups and downs, and they go through highs and lows. And that relationship to me is just so adorable and so authentic that I give him an A for having the courage to put that out there like that.
One other couple, I'll just ask for your opinion because I'm so curious. Are you familiar with Shannon Bedour and her husband on Real Housewives of Orange County?
Not really. I know that they just renewed their vows.
Because, yes, he had an affair.
Yes. I don't really know a lot about them. All I know is that I just recently read that she's dealing with weight gain right now, and she's such a beautiful woman. I wanted to reach out to her and say what's going on, but I don't really know enough about her relationship to really comment on that. And
all right,
but if you're asking me, once people have infidelity in their relationship, can they make it back? Yes, they can.
Okay.
When they say nobody can really change, what happens is that my rule is a man needs to love a woman a little bit more.
Right.
It's very simple. If he loves you a little bit more and he respects you, you're going to make it back together. Everybody's human. People do make mistakes. And when people cheat, it's not because one person is an ass and the other person isn't. It takes two to tango. That means that something is missing from that relationship that partner is not getting. Now, let's not use an excuse that you had to go take your private part and insert it in somebody else. That's a lame excuse, but we have to get to the root. So every situation is different. I would have to really talk to the both of them to find out what the underlining thing is and whether they would survive that. And I know they renewed their vows, so they're working on it. And
right.
They have survived it, but are they having problems now? I just don't know.
Yeah. I hope you guys liked it, and you can always check out more. She gave so many great interviews to us. So much really like valid relationship advice that I was like, oh, that's very interesting. So you can go find all of that at bravotv.com. All right. I am sad to say we had to say goodbye to invite only Cabo.
No, I didn't want the vacation to end.
So we got to do an interview that we have been waiting forever to do. Emily Moses called in. And we got way more than we bargained for. No, seriously, because it's like we had a list of questions and I think she answered all of them and more in like the first 5 minutes.
Yes, yes.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. And she was so great, so funny. Do you want to know a fun fact about Emily?
What?
She is with her boyfriend.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know?
I just saw that they celebrated Independence Day together on the gram.
Were they kissing? Maybe they're just
friends. She said, no. She said, celebrating my independence with the only man I want to be with or something like that. But let's ask her about it. But by the way, I also want to discuss, she's like a really big deal with makeup. Like nobody talks about that, but she does like Kendall Jenner's makeup and Amber Rose's makeup and just did a makeup thing for French Vogue. Like she's like the real deal. And that's why she looks so good.
Right.
I was like really impressed by her makeup.
Right.
Like,
all right, she really transforms herself. She did Delilah Bell's makeup too.
I know. She's like, it's like no joke. Now we're just sitting here admiring her Instagram and all the people that she's done makeup for.
Let's make that a podcast. Invite only Cabo fans, you are in for a treat. We are talking to Emily Moses today.
Hi, y'all.
We have been waiting for this moment for what feels like forever.
Yes.
Let's jump in.
That makes three of us.
You were saying you wanted to put some of your cast members on blast.
Well, I don't know if it's so much blast, but I'd like to clear the record. I'd like to have a few things like clarified and corrected, you know?
Yes, yes, I understand.
I love a double C action, clarified and corrected.
Well, we'll start with some of our questions, and then you feel free to just, you know, let it rip.
Let it rip. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I knew you were going to go there with that one.
It's been a while, but I want us to rewind to the first episode.
I bet you do, girl.
As soon as that
Where's my guacamole and chips?
I know. That's what we said. We said, Grace, get her in here so we could eat guacamole and chips together.
My friend on What's Crapping said that he wants to get like chips that look like nails for my guac, and we should start selling it.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yes, yes. Please do.
But so
yeah, I'm going to start a whole new trend.
My question is that, like, once that episode aired and was out there for the world to see, what was going through your mind? Were you instantly like, I should never have been on this show?
Well, I kind of knew that before I did it. But absolutely, utterly, completely, and beyond, it was probably the most confronting, frightening, most embarrassing, mortifying moment of my life, because, you know, I might be crazy, but I never let the whole world see it, you know what I mean? Mm. Whoever. But the thing is that I think I really need to just get very, very clear about right here and now is there's so many factors that the whole world doesn't understand, and that is, unlike a lot of the other Bravo franchises, we literally got in that house and had a mic stuck to us and three cameras in our face 24/7. And there's two other factors that people don't realize about me is the reason I've never done reality before, even though I've been asked six times prior, was because I kind of don't like being in front of a camera. So I had a lot of different reasons for acting that crazy. And first one was like 3 days before leaving for Cabo, Joseph actually found a lump in my left breast. And I didn't have time to get to the doctor before I left. So I was like, you know what? It's not cancer. I'm good. I'm fine. But honestly speaking, that I felt like the entire time, you know, having that lump, it was almost like, you know, something else took me over. Not to mention that, you know, on top of having anxiety on camera and whatnot, I was literally sleeping next to the enemy. Like, Kamani had been coming for me from moment one.
That was our question, too. Yeah.
Moment motherfucking one. She came in and she came hot. But the thing that was fucking with me the most, excuse my French.
No, go for it.
was the fact that she had this, like, double personality. And when we were in the room together, she was sweet as pie. Mm. She was like, I'm going downstairs to get coffee, boo. You want some? I'm like, sure, why not? Like, we were like, whilst we were in that room, it was like, all was good and well. She was like my best friend. And I don't even know how to explain, but the moment we stepped over the line of that room and the second that we sat down at a table anywhere from lunch, dinner to breakfast, and there were five other people there, she went with me at every opportunity she possibly could. So by the time that dinner came about, I was already f-ing done. Like, I was like, this is the beginning of the trip. Imagine that. Like, and the one thing I've learned after watching the show is there's three things that happen when I drink a lot. Okay. I apparently am extremely aural in many ways. I like to chew and spit. Apparently, I have a severe nail biting, triple dipping sensation happening. And then I'm a bit of a hoe. And, you know, like, you know, they say your true self comes out. Yeah, I'm a bit of a hoe. I'm a hoe. What can I say? I'm a Scorpio hoe. But, you know, I have to be honest, Enemy's got a whole nother personality that I've never seen, because I'm long gone by the time that bitch gets there. So basically, when Enemy's present, she has a way of handling things. And and this is probably the first time I've ever said this on record, but I have no interest in a goo, and I never really did. I think Enemy, the only reason Enemy went up in that bed was because Kamani came for me so much on so many occasions, and so like undermindedly too, like making out like she was just so fake. And it was like, I was like, okay, bitch, you won't play like that. And when Enemy comes into the room, she doesn't play, like she goes in. So I think honestly, Enemy's like, oh, you like a goo? Let me show you. Let me take that dick first and see where you want to go with that.
So it was,
you
know what I mean? It was Enemy's revenge.
I think it was Enemy's revenge, because not for nothing, I really love Joseph, and you know, but quite honestly, I was done. I was like, okay, you want to keep playing this game? I'm like, I think Enemy was like, you know what? Let's f- with somebody right now, you know. And that's kind of how I felt, because I was so, she was just so shady to me all the time, but making like playing this victim with everybody else, like I was the problem, constantly the problem, but she was literally the f-ing problem. And that's why I guess I just kept losing my mind, because it was like I was beating a dead horse. And that's nothing, that's another thing, like when she came for Bianca over that ass touching thing, like there was just so many things that Kamani kept doing that was so disrespectful and so out of whack and just wrong and strong, you know. Like I was like, this is bullshit. And this one thing about me, and I, this is why I love Bianca too, like we're ride or die, and I don't play that catty shit. So you know, when you f- with people I love, you f- with enemy comes out, and she comes back with a vengeance. And you know, I think that's where the beginning of it all stemmed from, quite honestly. And that was another thing after watching the show. I'd never seen any of the green screens. You know, I'd never seen all of these, what these people really thought about me, because they were acting nice as pie or whatever. And then, you know, especially Kamani, like she just kept coming for me every chance she got.
Right. That was going to be one of my questions, was like watching it back and then seeing those interviews. What was that like?
Let me tell you, girl, they have to bring season two, because I'm about to blast the shit out of, like, I'm bringing it. Like, I bit my tongue a lot, because that's just not in my DNA. If I have a problem, I go to the source. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not a little bitch talker. I don't go behind people's backs and talk shit. I go directly to the force. If I have a problem, I go to the source and I handle it. But if you notice, if you look at all of my green screens, I mean, how much did I talk about anybody? It was crazy, guys. It was just like, whoa. So that, the hope explains a little tiny bit more as to the first episode.
Yes, it does. What I was going to ask about is in the finale. So, yeah. You know, I'm sure you hadn't seen yourself and a goo talk in that car. And then there was kind of a telephone situation of a goo telling Kamani that you spoke about her children.
Yeah.
How is it watching that now? Yeah.
Oh my God. This is one of the most entertaining things ever. I'm so pissed at myself for being so apologetic actually right now, because I watched that shit. Because you know me, guys. You know how I kept saying I don't remember? I f***ing don't remember a lot of things. I wish I did, but the truth is, I mean, everybody can have their own opinion about it. It's not going to change anything. I don't remember. So I was starting to feel completely mortified, because I was like, did I say that? Did I do something horrendous? Did I? And that's when I was just like, oh, God, Emily, like, if that's the case, you have to be completely, like, mortified, because that's you know, I don't come for people's children. And the thing is, after watching that whole thing playback, I didn't come for anybody's child. The only comment I really made was about her, and that was like about her and him taking her and her kid to Chuck E. Cheese. But that was it. Like, how is that coming for your child? I mean, that was really all I said.
Right. I know. That's why I wanted to get your thoughts on it, because, you know, you were so sincere, and I could tell that you were very, very hurt that you would have said that or hurt someone else.
Well, I would be, you know? Because the truth is, I, as messed up as an enemy can get, I know the core of me doesn't tick that way. That's not how, I mean, for all of my baggage and bullshit and issues and crap, I have a very good heart, and I'm a very sincere person. So it's like, that's just not something I would ever do. And I was really, really worried that I'd actually crossed the line and done that. But it wasn't until I watched the last episode that I realized I hadn't done shit.
Right.
Like, I'm like, why did I have a breakdown and apologize for something that was an attack at her child? I didn't disrespect her child. I just simply said, you know, she's so hooked up on getting married on a vacation to you so you can take her and her kid to Chuck E. Cheese. I was like, that's all I said. Like Kamani literally went from zero to let's get married with Agu, and it was like, bitch, chill. Everybody's on vacation. You want to like play this freaking like dating game and like married at first sight shit. You want to be season two on that? I don't know. But like, she was just so hung up on having her man. And it was like, girl, we're all on vacation as friends. Can you just, you know, chill? And I was not checking for Agu. And you know, it's like, I still have, Agu still contacts me, sends me texts a whole bit. Like, I've got a whole bunch on him too. So I just felt like, if Agu had been a little stronger in himself as a man and just handled the truth with everybody, you know, because he's telling, and that's another thing, he's telling me all kinds of crazy shit on the side about her. In fact, he was the one that said, yeah, she said something about me taking her kids to Chuck E. Cheese. He's the one that told me that.
Well, I want to get to those text messages you alluded to, but first, my question was going to be that, why do you think she was coming for you so hard?
Okay, can I tell you the truth?
Yes. Only the truth, Emily. It's what we want.
Well, I am always the truth, but sometimes I'm like, the truth can also get you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
but anyway,
true.
Well, this is my belief system. And, you know, I could be wrong. However, I don't think I am. And I think it came from the very beginning. And I don't know if you guys saw her in the first episode, just how, like, entitled she is and the way she acts like she's higher than mighty and she doesn't share and she doesn't this. And I think this is my instant issue with Kamani was it was like, she's fake bougie. Do you know what I mean? Like, she does this, like, oh, we're classy people. But yet, she's over there acting like she's higher than mighty. And it's like, you know, there's things on Instagram, or not Instagram, on the internet. Like, you know, there's so many things on her where she's like, it's like, you know, those who live in glass houses don't need to be throwing boulders. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So one of the things I honestly believe that maybe she really had an issue with me about is the fact that if you go on her Instagram and every single picture of her Instagram is her own face. And then if you go to my Instagram, Emily Moses Makeup, you're going to see, you know, you're going to see five Italian Vogue covers. You're going to see the BB campaign I did with Irina Shayk. You're going to see the guest campaign I did. You're going to see Russian Vogue. You're going to see Vanity Fair with Paris Hilton. You're going to see the Black China paper magazine cover I did. You're going to see the Amber Rose cover I did. You're going to see actual work. And I think that's where it all stemmed from. It was like she had this anguish about the fact that maybe I was just actually a legitimate makeup artist and there was this competitive thing going on in her own mind. And I really feel like that's kind of what triggered it.
Well, we did want to ask you some questions about
absolutely
about being a makeup artist. But so you said you had done Larry's. We were going to ask, did you ever do Kamani or Bianca's makeup while you guys were shooting?
Oh, my God. And this is so funny because Kamani, I would never touch her face, but Bianca, or anything else for that matter. But Bianca, see, I have this rule with all of my friends. I'm like, all right, guys, you've got two chances to get your makeup done in your whole life. I don't care if it's for your wedding, your funeral, your divorce, whatever. You got two times in life, like two vouchers where I'll do your makeup for free, right? Because every one of your friends is like, oh, she does makeup. Can you do this?
Right.
But Bianca, I love my boo. My little boobala, but I gotta give it to her. I can tell she's a Scorpio because she got more free makeovers out of me than anyone on the planet. She milked the shit out of me with those free makeovers. But yeah, so that's the I did Bianca's makeup a lot, more than I've done anyone's, I think, especially for free.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but no.
I did want to ask, and you know, feel free to just keep it between us girls, but...
Yeah, sure. Yes, just you, me, and the world. I love it.
Who is...
Yeah, go for it.
...the worst celebrity you've worked with?
Oh, goodness me. Okay, you know what? Loose lip sync ships, but... I will say one of the most challenging... events for me in my career was when I flew to Graceland to do Lisa Marie Presley's album cover.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And they shut down Graceland. Oh, and it was wow. the first time she'd ever shot in the bushes, because she's never, as a child, allowed to go in this one part of Graceland. So we shot in there, and we shot in Elvis's bed. And I mean, we walked into Graceland, and that was literally left since 1970 something, exactly
right,
the way.
Right. Wow.
It was crazy. And I think the craziest part of that, she was trying to put makeup on her, and she didn't like to be touched.
Oh.
And I was like, do you want me to just like pour some powder in my hands and blow it onto your face? how exactly do you want me to pull this off? Because, you know, like, yeah. So I think it was one of my most challenging events, but
But it sounds amazing.
I mean, yeah, of course. And it was actually one of the best day rates I've ever had, so I'm not mad at that. I guess, you know, the good news is that whenever it was that worse, I got paid to deal with it.
Right. Well, on the flip side, I wanted to know, who was someone that maybe you expected to be terrible and ended up just being so great to work with?
Well, I wouldn't say terrible, but I was like, I wasn't sure when I first, because I'd met Paris in New York plenty of times. We'd partied at Bungalow, and I even picked her up. I won't probably get into those details. But, I think Paris was one of my absolute favorite surprises. She to me was just amazing. I loved her. Like, honestly, Paris is one of the smartest people I've ever met, and I just love that she plays dumb like nobody else, and she's just brilliant at the way she handles her stuff. Like, she's a boss, and yes. She's also extremely real, and she's got an amazing sense of humor, and she loves to just be silly. And it's like, I mean, it's incredible what she's accomplished by her. And, you know, people say, oh, she comes from money. You know what? She comes from money, but she made more than the family almost at this point. I mean, she, by the age of 30, I think had made $100 million in fragrance sales alone.
Yeah,
it's
crazy.
It's like, she was, as soon as Elizabeth Taylor died, she was number one in the world. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, but she's also really fun and cool and sweet and just very, like, down to earth. That's what I loved about her. So yeah, she was my true surprise, because I did not know what to expect. You know, because, you know.
Right, you never know.
Sometimes. You never know, girl. You never know. But I have to say, in all honesty, throughout my 20-something years in makeup, honestly, almost every one of my clients has turned out to be incredible. Because I think when you're touching somebody's skin and face, it's such an intimate thing that, you know, once they see what you're capable of, they're so... Vanity is one of the most powerful things we have as humans. You know, like, there's nothing than having somebody make you feel and look gorgeous. So when somebody does that to you, there's this, like, an instant love you have and feel for each other, because it's like, you know, this person makes me feel like that, you know?
Right, right.
And I think my ultimate love ever, and the best job person I've ever dealt with and worked with, is Irina Shayk. Like, that was my ride or die homie. Like, her, like, she would have a car waiting for her to take her from the set every day, and she's like, it's okay, send that car home, I go home with Emily, she could drive me. Like, she was like, and she'd be texting me like, where are you, biatch? Like, you know, she's one of my like favorite human beings, just as the way she's not just exquisite, you know, externally, but inside she's just oozes with love and, you know, authenticity. Yeah, so that's it. Isn't that nice to say some nice things?
Killing it with these segues, because our next question was about Joseph.
I'm
we
sure
see
it is.
You're still together.
I know, he's crazy. I mean, he's insane, but thanks. I mean, Jesus.
How did that reconciliation happen?
Well, I can't give you all the details, because it would be, you know, it's a lot. But what basically happened was, you know, and when I landed from that trip, and he was waiting outside my door, and I took him straight to a public place and basically sat at a restaurant, and he's like, okay, explain everything to me. So I basically told him the absolute truth. And I told him, you know, all the things that happened and all the things I was going through. And, you know, I explained to him that, you know, I completely understand if he never wanted to see or speak to me again, and he has every right to feel that way, but I truly do love him more than I've ever loved another human in my whole life. And, you know, he just listened for, you know, and truly, although he did really mess with me, because after we got home from dinner, we went into my apartment. And you got to remember, I had 5 suitcases of shit, and I just landed, and I was exhausted. I was emotionally, mentally ruined. And I'm standing at the door, and I'm looking at him, and he turns around, he's like, "Anyway, baby, I just want to tell you, I do love you, but I can't forgive you, and I'm done. So I'm going to leave now, and I'm not going to come back." And I'm like, so literally, you don't go, girls. I was like, oh, I hit the ground. Like, this is the most dramatic I think I've ever been in my whole life. Like, I was like, yes. It was like that really ugly cry, bawling, and like on the floor, like holding his leg, and like just having, like, it was so pathetically crazy. And like, and I look up, and I just see this little kind of smirk, like starting in the corner of his mouth. And I look up, I'm still on the floor holding his legs, crying, right? And I look up and I see this little smirk, and he goes, "Don't be silly, baby. I'm going to get something from the car. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Cruel, Joseph. Cruel.
But so sweet also.
I don't want you to be out of my life, but I'm also going to torture you.
And he does it actually really quite lovely. It's nice. Aww. I like the way he tortures me, because we like to torture each other. But he said to me that, he goes, "You know, baby, you know you're f***ing crazy, right? You're f***ing crazy." And I'm like, "Of course I know I'm f***ing crazy. I have a show to prove it, you know?"
Right.
And he goes, "But you know what you don't know, baby?" I'm like, "What the fuck don't I know, Joseph? Because I'm pretty sure I know it most." And he goes, "I'm fucking crazier than you. Don't ever forget that." I'm like, you know what? Thank God, I think I've met my match.
Yes.
There officially is somebody that can match me and actually probably outdo me. So thank God for Joseph. He's trying to make an honest woman of me.
Do it, Emily.
God bless him.
Yeah, do it, Emily.
I'm going to try, girls. I'm going to try. We have our 1-year anniversary in like a week.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you, girls.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. You are so much fun to talk to. Oh, my God. I want to have you back every
week. That was the other thing I wanted to tell both of you.
What?
Because, you know, I when I first saw the show, I was so mortified. I had, you know, never seen myself on camera in my whole life. And I think I didn't leave my house for like a week, literally. I was just like, I'd go to the gym and I'd run back and I'd have my glasses on, and I was just like, not that anybody had a fucking clue who I was, trust me, but like no one was checking for me. I was just acting like they were. But I think it wasn't until I listened to your podcast, the first one that you guys did, I honestly need you both to understand that you made me feel so much better. Just the way that you embraced my craziness, and the way you both talked about me. Like, I love the fact that you just kept saying, "Emily is the gift that keeps on giving." Like, you literally like lifted my spirits and made me say, "Fuck it, let's just go out there and embrace this crazy
Emily,
bitch."
We're like gonna cry. Like, so
no,
overwhelmed.
But I sincerely mean that from the bottom of my heart. You guys literally like picked me up without even realizing it. And what else was so crazy is I tried to come in, when I came to New York, I came with Larry and Bianca, and I was reaching out, I was trying to get in contact because I was dying to come down there with Guacamole and Chips to see you in person.
We would have loved that. Yeah, next time you're in New York, we want to get Guacamole and Chips.
You know what I'm saying? And maybe a margarita or two.
Yes.
No, but seriously, like, thank you so much. I love your podcast, and I love the way you guys break it down. And I love how you do it. You do it, like, funny, but it's like, I love that you bring the digs, too. But you do it you bring the digs with an absolute love and class.
Yeah, it's always with love, and we especially love you.
Yes, thank you so much,
and just
Emily.
So you know, it's very much mutual. I think you guys are fantastic.
Again, Emily, thank you so much for coming on. You really made our like year coming on and talking to us, and you're just so lovely and so wonderful and so funny.
Why can't every guest give us such a compliment?
Right, come on, other guests.
But I did want to I did want to tell listeners, if you hear like a small kind of like smacking during her interview, we heard it too and we're like, oh my God, like it is, it's just like when I'm on the phone with someone and it's like you're kind of like slapping your hands, like you're being really animated. Like,
and then I did this and this and yeah. Da-da-da.
Which just shows what a passionate lady she is.
Yes.
Love it. Yeah. All right, the show I've been waiting to talk about since I watched it, Southern Charm. That reunion part one was bananas.
When Jennifer Snowden came out, I agree. That part was bananas.
We'd had Crystal, the senior digital producer of Southern Charm, on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and she had told us a little bit about the reunion. But what she said off microphone was some stuff specifically that they went into about Jennifer Snowden's deposition and what specifically made Catherine so angry. And I am sad to say I can't repeat it, but it's crazy. But like at the end of the episode, and I texted Crystal right after to see if she had any more info. I was like, what was Thomas alluding to when he was like, we can go to court and I can tell the judge things that will ensure you never get a job again. Right.
It's not true.
If I want to, we can go to court and the whole world's going to know the truth.
We are.
We are? I thought we had an agreement we were going to sign it, which would protect you. Because if we go to court, I don't have any... you will never work
it's
ever
again. It's a motion
again.
I filed against you.
Because the facts will come out. You know, the judge has all the information. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to say any more. But you keep on... it's not going to be pretty.
What are you talking about? What could that be? Like, technically, there's nothing you can do unless being locked behind bars forever that would preclude you from getting a job. Like, what does that even mean?
I know. And Crystal said that they did not go into detail at the reunion. So, like, whatever it was a real threat that he was holding close to the vest. But it was also weird because Thomas was, like, quivering as he said it. Like, he was about to cry.
Emotions were high. If everyone hasn't watched the whole thing yet, what we're talking about is at the end, Jennifer Snowden came on and Catherine basically was like, I'm mad at you for lying on the stand during a court case between them two. And it just escalated from there.
Question.
What?
Do you think Landon was being sincere when she cried after Catherine said she's all alone?
Like, it's intense what I've gone through.
Landon, why are you crying?
Because it's just sad.
I think she was totally sincere. I think it wasn't the best timing considering her relationship and how she was for the rest of the episode. I think she really did feel sad for her. I think it is really sad. But I think that it was kind of like, this isn't your moment.
But we talked to Landon about the reunion.
And we can say no regrets. We are here with Landon from Southern Charm.
Thank you all for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
So I'm interested, since you came onto the show when it was already on air, what was it like coming into it? Did you know what you were getting into?
Well, I've known Whitney for a very long time, and same with Shep. We went to school together. I mean, not together, but the same sort of time. And it was just fun. I mean, it's like, we joke, it's like summer camp, and you're just like making the show. It's just, we have the best time. So I had no sort of trepidation about it until it was about to air, and then I was like, oh God, they can do anything, who knows what's gonna come. And I mean, I've been sort of pleasantly surprised, and you know, you kind of go through all of the emotions, and then also you're watching it back sort of 6 months after everything's happened, so then you get like a new perspective on what it was. And then, you know, it's funny to me what they sort of like pick up on, do you know what, like little Southernisms or whatnot, and how, you know, I mean, Cameron and I have been dying laughing because I don't know if you watched the finale, but Shep was like out of his mind. And there was this little, he had not been to bed and the sun's rising and all the birds, and he's just so hammered. He's like, look at his little feet about this bird like scuffling along the beach. And so now Cameron and I have for days have just been going back and forth, be like, his little feet. But it's, you know, it's that kind of stuff that you just, love, and it's so silly and fun.
Is it still as enjoyable?
I mean, I have so much fun doing it. I'd like to do more shows. Shep just did a relationship, which I think is still a working title. I'm not sure, but that's his Instagram handle. So, really excited to see that. But, you know, we love doing it, you know, and Whitney kind of created this whole crazy thing. And I think we would all be very sad if it were to end.
Totally. Have you seen anything over the couple of seasons that you've been on that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that that was.
Well, I think that just how much they make it like seem like I'm involved in Catherine. Like that stuff is kind of just annoying because it's like I'm not really like this vindictive person. Like I don't really like I wish you well and I hope that you can, you know, get your life where you want it to be. So, you know, and beyond that, I say catty things and I don't mean to. They just sort of come out. But I kind of stand by everything I've ever said, you know. I mean, it's like Andy last night when I did Watch What Happens and he kept asking me, like, well, but what about me? I'm like, well, I know I sound like an asshole, but I still believe that. I maintain my statement, but I'll explain
right. Why.
Like this whole thing with the girl code, like that was really annoying to me because, first of all, I didn't break girl code. I'd never hooked up with any of them. And second of all, it's like, I live my life by just do the right thing code. So I don't need like girl code guy. I just think that's so like silly. But I think it's sort of these like millennial buzzwords or something, you know? So it's like, I don't know. For me, it's just so sort of tacky. If you girl code means that you have no other codes in your life.
You talked about Shep and his new dating show. I feel like this season we saw him kind of struggle a little bit with
dating. We finally got to see the real Shep.
Oh, okay.
They've been sugarcoating him for a while, so now.
Yeah.
When Cameron found him in his bed, full clothes at 1 p.m., that is Shep.
Speaking of your castmates, I've noticed you and Patricia have gotten really close. How did that develop?
Well, I mean, I just respect her so much and her opinion. And I, you know, those are the kind of women that I grew up around. So I'm still very much like trying to please my parents. I know I'm kind of old for that, but, you know, I think that's, I know it's more than just a Southern thing. I know a lot of people feel that way. And I just, I'm also very old school and agree with Patricia on a lot of these sort of issues. And, I don't want to be so rash to say I see a lot of myself in her, but I do, and that's, you know, I mean, talk about goals. She writes a book at sort of 70. It's on the Amazon bestseller list before it's even on sale. I mean, she just keeps going, and I think she has more fun with the show than any of us because she really does not care. Like, she is over, like, I don't do not care what you think of me, and I'm still so like, well, I'm not really like that, but so there's a lot to be said about really getting to that sort of stage in life where you are just so confident and so sincere in who and what you are and what you stand for. I'm still sort of like, I mean, I know what it is that I want and what I stand for, but it's getting there. Mm-hmm.
She seemed to push you and Thomas together.
Well, again, I think this is a lot for her entertainment value. But, you know, Thomas is an amazing person. And I would, you know, I want to be with someone like Thomas. And I think we all know he has a lot on his plate right now. And I'm not interested in dealing with any of those issues.
Right. Was she disappointed?
I think, you know, a little bit. But she understands. I mean, had things been a little bit different and whatnot. I mean, I think, you know, Thomas and I would have had a great life together, but he's a lot older than me still. You know, I want someone sort of that ilk, but at my age. You know, I'm 36 and I think he's 56 maybe.
Right.
So I just, I don't want to be like wheeling him around, you know.
Well, in the finale, it did seem like a tense text exchange. With Jane Austen quotes.
Oh, yeah. My gosh, I know. My sister, I was like, can you believe this? I think I can't speak for him and how he feels, but I think it hits home every now and again that this is his life now, and this is going to be an ongoing issue for forever. And I think, you know, my good opinion of you once lost is lost forever. I mean, that's true, but I'm not sure if he necessarily meant that to me. So I get a lot of the like projecting targets. I'm like, but I didn't do that or I didn't say that. And, you know, a lot of things that are, you know, said about me. I'm like, but you're the one who actually did that. So why are you saying I do that? I didn't do that.
So was there any awkwardness when you guys see each other, like at Watch What Happens Live?
No, we're great friends. I mean, he's been out in Santa Barbara playing polo. I've been going to all his matches because I'm in Malibu, so it's like an hour away. One of my like best childhood friends just got married in Santa Barbara. He was my date to the wedding and came, and he was like the best Thomas. I mean, he was like spinning the grannies on the dance floor, like shaking all the hands, kissing the babies. I was like, get away from the bride, too much touching. Like, and even he the next day, he was like, was I inappropriate with the bride? I was like, a little bit, but it was endearing.
Everyone gets a little
handsy. Yeah.
We asked Shep this when he was in, but on the show, Thomas, does he have game? Like, he seems so charmed. Like, how does he always...
Well, Thomas isn't like... I mean, he just has a sort of different game. I mean, Shep's idea is like, we'll just wait and see who is the last one standing at the bar when I'm ready to go home. And it works for him, so, like, go with it. But, you know, I think Thomas really is at a stage where he wants, like, a life partner and someone to be doing the things and traveling and taking care of him and the kids. And, you know, he's got three different properties now. And, you know, it's a lot to manage Thomas. The business of Thomas is a lot.
Are you dating now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always dating. I'm like the biggest flirt ever. I've been boy crazy since I was about 5.
Yeah, on the show, and I know we talked about this on Watch What Happens Live, everyone was like, you and Austin. Did you ever feel like there was
a spark? Do you know what it was? Like, there wasn't, like, a romantic spark, but there was he, you know, like me. I'm still, you know, new to this. I wasn't there first season, and this was his first season, so we kind of, like, bonded over that. So that was sort of the initial, like, what did you film today? Like, all of us are, like, you know, so in each other's, like, little bubbles. But, you know, Austin is just a really sweet, great guy, and he, you know, doesn't have maybe as much as the ego as some of the others, and he's just like, he really is that laid back and sweet and lovely, and, you know, we're all on this sort of weird roller coaster together, and sometimes it's, you know, it's hard to talk about some of this stuff with people because it's, like, really unrelatable. And you're like, well, there's a camera crew in my house for 12 hours today. And, like, can we please go have a beer? You know, it's not romantical. But I do, you know, I think, if anything, it just showed Chelsea that she does maybe have feelings for him that she was trying to be coy about. And, like, again, you can't blame me because I'm friends with him and that makes you have feelings. That doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. That means that, like, maybe we should evaluate what's going on here a little bit more, you know? Go claim your man. And so they were the whole season sort of like tap dancing around, like, yo, we're together. No, we're not together yet. And it's just like, okay, whatever makes you happy. Like, I'm not, you know, I've never hooked up with any of those guys and I never will. I mean, they're like my brothers. It's not like, right. I just know way too much.
Okay, that's a good segue because, like, I think it's a very iconic moment. You saying to Shep, I think I might love you.
Well, I do. I love him very much. But, you know, then you see a grown man in his clothes at 1 p.m. on a Tuesday and you're like, I don't love that.
So if tomorrow he was like, Landon, I think I might love you too.
I mean, that's just not going to happen. So I'm not even concerned. I mean, did you miss 2 minutes ago where he said he went on a dating show and he's like The Bachelor now? I'm so good. The Rose train has left the station.
All right. I'd still be hoping.
I know. Well, you know, never say never. Yeah. I mean, eventually we'll probably, like, be so old and we won't be able to be bothered to date anyone. And there we are still on this little island. So who knows?
We've talked to a lot of your other charmers about social media and how they deal with it. Craig, for example, is like, I just don't engage at all. How do you deal with social media haters?
Block and delete. I just, zero tolerance. I mean, I've gotten everything from, like, you know, death threats to racial things to just all kinds. And you're just like, this is not a human I need to be connected with, so bye. You know, and most of them are zero followers, zero things. So it's just, what saddens me is that that's entertainment to some people. And then, you know, you sort of look at the state of you know, I'm 36, so I, you know, our demographics with the show is all over the place. But like on my phone, I can see just from my Instagram, a lot of them are in their early 20s, and it's a younger female crowd. And it just, you know, I found myself single again in my 30s, and for the first time having social, you know, I'd go out with it on a date with a guy and then look at his Instagram and be like, ooh, I do not like you anymore. Like, or, you know, and so I can't imagine growing up in that sort of world. You know, I have a stepdaughter and she's 14, and we talk about it a lot because they bully each other, and there's this and there's that. And she actually, her mom is also is an actress, and so she gets sort of the like backlash from her mom and stuff too. So she's even, you know, as a minor, we've had to shut down her social media just because it was so bad. And it's just, kids need to be kids. It's just not, you know, I mean, you know, I was bullied growing up. I was tall and wasn't, you know, great at anything. And so, you know, it's whatever. And but it's different when it's to your face versus like behind a computer screen. And it's scary. It scares me sometimes. I, you know, I've been in New York by myself these last couple of weeks, and I do, you know, strangers are coming up to you and they love the show and this and that, but it's like, what if one of these strangers
really doesn't like me?
Yeah, well, just, you know, it's just something that I'm now like acutely aware of. And especially, I don't know if it's more so because I'm a girl or whatever, but I do definitely have taken a lot more precautions of just my own safety beyond the social media.
There was someone yesterday from the Southern Charm Savannah, and mm-hmm. she was saying, you know, she's getting a lot of people staring at her, and she, like, and then coming up to her, and yeah. her having that initial thought of, like, how do I know this person?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, wait, I don't.
Don't, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And do you feel that a lot?
Yeah, but then I'm also, like, so forgetful. Sometimes I do know them.
And you're like, thanks for watching the
show. Yeah, and they're like, we went to the school together. I'm like, really? Okay.
That is so funny. You were talking about dating again. What was that process like, getting like back on the horse, really?
I mean, that's part of why I left LA and I moved to Aspen. It's just, you know, I had to kind of like reconnect with like what I wanted. You know, my life had gotten so out of control with sort of what everyone else wanted for me. And it's, you know, it's kind and endearing, and it's nice that so many people are involved in my life. But you're also like, can you please fuck off? Like, so, you know, it was awesome having a winter in Aspen and just like regrouping. And like, I was a mountain photographer and would go like skiing with kids and take their portraits. And I had never been so happy in my life. And it was just like a complete clean slate. And so, and then after the mountain closed, I came home to Charleston for Easter, and that I had been watching the first season of Southern yeah. Charm from Aspen, and you know, would like text with Chef and Whitney about it and like kind of laughing like, I can't believe you guys like pulled this off, like you really made a show, because right. we joked about it since we were, you know, in college. We're like, this really needs to, like, Charleston needs to be a show. And here it is, and now they've got Savannah, and New Orleans is coming, and Shep's got his show, and I mean, I'm hopeful that I can turn my travel website into its own show, and, you know, just keep sort of plugging away. But all of us have backgrounds in sort of the creative arts, so this has been a really good sort of forum for all of us to kind of, you know, express ourselves.
We wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't try to get a few details about the reunion.
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure what I'm allowed to say. I mean, I will, you know, say that we are kind of a big dysfunctional family. And at the end of the day, we all do really, like, love and care about each other. So I think that that will hopefully be seen and shown at the reunion. And, you know, we just really wish the best for each other. And that's what's kind of fun about it. You know, you're there for the highs and the lows. And, like, Cameron's about to have a baby. And, you know, Shep's been, you know, pulling it together. And then, you know, it's just, we all kind of work together and, you know, live together. And we're just, it's all, I don't know. I mean, we just have such a nice time together. And, but then, you know, that's not always drama free, or there's trouble in paradise every now and then. So, but it's really, you know, how you work through those problems.
Thank you, Landon, for coming on. It was so much fun to talk to you after the reunion, and I can't wait to see part two. But that wasn't the only reunion this week. The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Which you were at.
Which I was at. And I want to say that at the end of the episode, and we'll get to the end of the episode, but when Andy was like, okay, we need to turn the AC on, it was ridiculously hot in the room that they were in. So, like, I feel like they would have to, like, stop all the time because everyone was just like fanning themselves and it was just like so hot in the room. Because
you never know when people are being dramatic. Like Ramona is always like, if it's above 55 degrees, you know,
I need an AC. So. No, it was like super hot. So when you see them fanning themselves, it really was that hot.
Right.
And then their emotions on top of it.
I was happy we got to meet Giselle's new boyfriend, Sherman.
I know, because I don't think he had planned to, like, they didn't have a chair for him. He hadn't planned. He just was there to, like, support her in the morning and say, like, hi and good luck.
I kind of felt bad for him because I didn't know whether it was planned or not. But I was like, Sherman can't get a seat. We're making him stand in the wings, like, while Andy asks some questions.
But, I mean, it makes sense to a certain degree because we didn't.
Yeah, we haven't met him on the show.
But I thought he did great for his first performance.
Yes.
He was funny. He's cute. I enjoyed Sherman quite a lot. I actually talked to Giselle about Sherman, and she basically said that, like, they went to a gym class together, and he was behind her. And then he was like, I like what I see. So there's that.
I don't know. My biggest takeaway from this reunion was that, unlike other housewives, I have a very clear idea of who likes who doesn't like each other, but who can, like, stand one another. With this group, I really have no idea. Like, outside of Giselle and Robin, who are clearly really good friends, and then Monique and Ashley, who I think really get each other, I don't know who likes who. And the couches were divided in a way that was also confusing.
Right. And, like, leading into it, talking to them in the morning, like, Robin was like, I don't have a problem with anyone. Like, I think this will be totally fine. And then I feel like Robin had the most problems with everyone. Right. Which I was really surprised about. But it's always like when Andy starts reading what people said in blogs, it just does not go well. Because I think sometimes they're not as on top of reading each other's as maybe they should be. Because when he read what Monique said about Giselle and Robin in her blog, which I blame myself for because I asked her the question, Robin got so mad at Monique. And I think that that was misunderstood still. I think that she, because when Andy was like,
well, Monique, you wrote the following about Giselle on BravoTV.com. She's a typical jealous, bitter, and hateful old woman. She can't be happy for people unless she feels like they are beneath her. Right. Hence her girl crush on Robin.
Wow. That's nasty.
That's the first I'm hearing of it. That's unfortunate.
And that's what flipped Robin out. But I and she's like, so you're better than me, Monique? So everyone's just better than me? I'm not good enough? And that's not what Monique was saying, I think, she tried to explain that. And I was like, I don't know. Or then it's like stuff comes up again and, like, you think that they're over it, but then, like, you say something new at the reunion and then it just gets all bubbled up
well, that's,
again.
Well, that's the genius of these reunions.
Right. But I do want to, if we scrap the other thing, I would prefer to talk about that moment at the end when Robin gets caught in the hot mic moment. So they go to a break, and then Robin is just, like, on 10 and is like,
and seriously, if there weren't cameras there, I would have beat her ass at that party. Like, I can't be beating people's asses on camera. But I would have put her ass in a headlock and told her to shut the f*** up.
Wow.
Phone this. Lucky those cameras were there.
Who was that?
Because I didn't even know that happened being at the reunion, because it was, like, at a break. Everyone was talking in the back in the production room. So, like, I don't think Robin will know. I don't think Ashley will even know.
I feel like Robin will be like, yeah, I don't care. I meant it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm sure she meant it.
And by the way, I think she could totally take Ashley.
I mean, have you seen her arms? She's huge in the best way, in, like, right, Michelle Obama way.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's going to be interesting to see the fallout from that. I would be checking Twitter now. And next week it's going to be crazy because the men come out, and I will tell you from that, like, so much stuff comes out because you have Juan and Robin finding out where they're at. He says a lot of crazy stuff, I think. And then you have Michael and Ashley, because she kind of, like, dodged the question. It's like, Ashley, come on. I know, but you all will find out next week what their status is. And no one, by the way, I think a couple people in production knew, but, like, the other ladies didn't know the answer of where they're at, so.
Wow. And you got to sit down with Giselle. So we'll have that next week, too.
Yes. She was amazing and beautiful as always.
Yeah. All right, so that's this week. Finales, reunions. It's a time of transition here at Bravo. If you haven't listened yet, we had a special bonus episode go up on Monday where we covered the premiere of Real Housewives of Orange County. And we'll be throwing it back to season one with Kate Casey from Reality Life. We rewatched the first ever episode of OC with her.
The first ever episode of Housewives.
Yes.
As always, please tweet us your thoughts, your positive remarks, your praise. That's the word. Your praise, your adulation. Only positive comments at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. You can find me on Twitter at Rachy Robb.
And me at Meg Segura.
You can find the show that you're listening to on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon Alexa, and anywhere else you can listen to podcasts.
Wherever you're listening, please leave us a review. It helps us a lot.
5 stars.
Five stars only.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss.